Hi, Stassi.
Hello, Hallie.
I like how we perked up substantially since 10 seconds ago and we weren't being recorded.
Literally, the second before the recording went on, I was like falling asleep, and then you turned it on and now I'm bright-eyed.
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. We were out very late last night because our friend got married. We'll put a picture up on the Facebook group of us at the wedding because we looked banging.
We did.
Especially because Stassi had her makeup done professionally.
Yeah, it was pretty fancy. I wore fake eyelashes for the first time.
Now, how do you get those off?
I just peeled them off.
See, I've always been afraid of them because I thought that they got glued on and then it became stuck.
Well, they do get glued on, but it peels off. I'm not going to use like a hot glue gun.
Well, I figured that. So today, in the spirit of talking about makeup and other girly things like cults, today we are discussing a cult recommended to us by several people, especially our good friend John, which is the Blackburn cult.
Yes.
And it is a female-run cult.
It is.
Which we always
by
like.
By two females.
Two females. It was a mother-daughter operation.
Yep.
We have Mary Otis Blackburn.
It's a good name.
She was born in 1881 in Storm Lake, Iowa.
That sounds like a fun place.
That sounds like something, a place Stephen King would write as like the location for something, but then he would edit it later because it was too on the nose. He can't call it Storm Lake. It's like Evil Town or something.
So Mary's born in 1881.
And then she has a daughter sometime after that.
Yeah, we don't have much on her early life. I'm looking at a picture of them right now.
Tell us about them. Her daughter's name is Ruth Wyland Rickbaugh Rizzo. Rizzio. Rizzio. We're going to call her Ruth.
All right. So I'm looking at a photo of them, black and white. They're both looking away from the camera, sitting down. Ruth has her arm around May.
Mary.
Oh, well, here it says May, but I'm pretty Holy sure shit. It is Mary, isn't it?
No, I think you're right.
Let me double it's check May. My notes.
It's May. It was me and my fucking
it
dyslexia.
Is May. Okay. It's definitely May.
May has a very Otis Blackburn. Jesus Christ, Alec.
She has a wool coat on with like a little pattern on her sleeves and her belt and her collar. It looks pretty dowdy. She's got a fun hat with like a ribbon going through it. And then her daughter looks like she's fun. She looks like the life of the party. Her daughter has like that sort of 30s hair look where like it's curled, but also the top of it is flat. So you're like, did you just wear a hat all day? She looks like a little fashion maven. She looks like she would do shots and dance with you.
May had her when she was 36, so she was on the older side, especially back then.
Yeah.
And when Ruth was in her teens, the two began to claim that they could hear angels talking to them.
Now, Hal, was this around the same time as each other? Did one say it first?
See, I believe that May sort of came up with it, okay. And then Ruth followed along because it was her daughter and because Ruth was still very young at the time. Something interesting about this cult is that you gotta wonder, keep in mind as we're talking about it, did they believe this or were they just a couple of con women?
Yes. I mean, I think that's always true of every cult, we have to ask.
See, yes, especially sometimes it's easier to say this person was genuinely like having a delusional break from reality.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's much more obvious that they were fully aware that they were spouting bullshit.
Again, I always reference back to that cult in Africa we talked
about. Uganda.
Where they
The Ten Commandments.
The Ten Commandments, where they knew it was a scam, so they killed everyone. So like that's a perfect example of definitely not an actual, you know, them not believing in their own bullshit.
But May and Ruth here, I'm not so sure. I'm going to leave that up to you guys.
I think I'll have a stronger opinion about it by the end of the episode.
All right, I look forward to it.
You should.
They started to say they were listening to Gabriel and Michael, who are two of the archangels in Christianity.
They are two of my favorites. I thought it was archangel.
Did I say arch?
You said arch.
I'm sorry, I meant arc. Okay. Again, I'm just a mess today with the reading and
No, we had a late night. There was a lot of dancing. We learned how to do a Ukrainian folk dance.
That
we
was
got
fun.
Kissed.
Many times.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you guys like to know what happened?
Hide and seek tag in the dark gardens.
It was a good time. But anyway, that's why I especially can't read today. Michael and Gabriel told these two that the world was ending soon and that the apocalypse as told in Revelations of the Bible was going to be upon them soon.
So tell me what that apocalypse looks like.
It's just your standard apocalypse. You know, the frogs are raining down. Ew. There's fire in the sky. The Antichrist shows up. All the sinners are left on earth while all the righteous are raptured.
My favorite thing about this revelation that they had, or this I don't even know what you'd call it, not a vision, but this idea of theirs, was that May said that after the apocalypse, 11 queens would rule the world from mansions on Olive Hill in Hollywood, California, which is how this cult also became known as the Divine Order of Royal Arms of the Great 11, or the Great 11 Cult, or the Cult of the Great 11.
This is the problem. Queens.
I like that.
I like that. And this
See,
was
that just... sounds like a fun comic book.
It does. It sounds like the Justice League, but not boring.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said it.
I don't know what that means, but yes.
So there was definitely a lot of female power in this, and it was very glamorous because they were starting to reach their popularity in the 1920s. At this time, May was 60 and her daughter was 24.
Those are two very sexy ages.
Very sexy.
Yeah.
So in 1924, they started to tell the story about these queens were going to be ruling in Hollywood after the apocalypse.
Did they think, like, the queens were mystical beings, or did they think they themselves were the queens?
I'm not entirely sure.
But I couldn't find that out.
Neither could I, but I believe that they claimed they were withholding this information, and that they needed to get more money and more gold to figure it out. They did say here that I'm reading an article called Angels Made Them Do It, A Brief History of the Blackburn Cults.
Yeah, I saw that one as well.
And at this time, in 1924, they were making a killing, gathering followers and bilking them out of their money. A large amount of their followers worked at a tomato plant. Tomato packing plant, where they were immediately handed all over all their money to the cult, which, as we know, is one of the biggest red flags there is. Ruth would have suitors come by, and they would swindle them out of that money. There was a very rich investor who believed in their angelic contacts, and they told this man, who is, you know, known for oil, that Gabriel and Michael were going to guide them to hidden reserves of gold and oil if only he gave them more money so they could continue their work.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're crushing it.
The Blackburn cult, as it's also called the Great 11 in a lot of our notes, mm-hmm. moved from this area of California to the Simi Valley. They built cabins and a temple.
That's also in California.
Also in California.
Yes,
they moved from the Los Angeles area to Simi Valley. They're doing their cult thing. Now, as with every religion in the history of the world, you find yourself waiting a very long time for Christ to return and the apocalypse to come.
Yes.
So, the cult started to get creative with their time.
Oh god, creative. That's quite an interesting word. Yeah, I mean, they definitely flex their creativity muscles. Again, girl power.
Girl power, and also there's some girl-on-girl crime happening here.
Girl-on-girl crime.
To borrow a phrase from Miss Tina Fey in Mean Girls. This leads us into our notable craziness. The death of Willa Rhodes.
Okay, so, like many cults, this one had sort of orders and sections of what you are. So I'm not sure exactly where this 16-year-old Willa Rhodes landed, because I've seen her listed as both a high priestess and as a princess.
I saw princess a lot. She was considered a cult princess.
I mean, when I have a cult, we'll definitely have princesses.
That's all anyone ever wants to be.
We'll have, like, princesses, and, like, I'll go from there. I'll figure it out.
Nice.
We're really in the beginning stages of my cult.
Willa Rhodes ended her short life very sadly.
Yes. She died on January 1st, 1925. Her foster parents were followers of our Blackburn ladies.
She was raised in this cult. She died of natural causes. She had an untreated tooth infection.
Ooh.
Which, again, was much more common back then, but it does kind of spread, and
I have an untreated tooth something.
Well, you better get on it. You don't want to end up like Willa here.
I guess so.
But what was really interesting was what happened to Willa after she died.
Yes. So, I'm sure she was a lovely girl, but our focus is more on her on what happens to her later on. So she dies.
And then she is kept on salt, ice, and spices for 14 months before she is buried. She was kept for 14 months because May Otis Blackburn believed that she was going to be resurrected any day. And that her death was going to trigger Christ coming down, raising her. She was going to be one of the 11 goddesses.
Nice.
Her parents finally buried her when they lost faith in the cult and then tell them how they buried her.
Okay, so her parents, not to like dial it back too much on the crazy, they decided they were going to bury her in a cedar casket with a copper lining. And within the casket, I believe within the casket, she was buried with the bodies of 7 dogs who had been her pets in life. And Hallie, do you want that? According to Mrs. Rhodes, who is that? Oh, that's her foster mom. According to her foster mother, the 7 dogs represented the 7 tones of Gabriel's trumpet, which the cultists expected to proclaim, quote-unquote, resurrection morn. I'm reading that from historicalcrimedetective.com.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's a good one. So that was poor girl.
Not only was she buried with 7 dogs, she was buried under her parents' house in Venice, California.
Yeah.
It was almost 3 years after her death that she was discovered there. Charges were not pressed.
Yeah, the police were way more laid back about it than you would want them to be. It took 600 pounds of ice a week to preserve her body because freezers did not exist back then.
Jesus Christ.
600 pounds of ice a week. So the family, her parents, would move around to follow May and Ruth as they, you know, were wandering around. They would transport Willa's body with them, sitting her up in the back seat of their car.
Ew.
Apparently to the point where, like, passerbys thought she was just a living girl in the back seat of the car.
That's like a Weekend at Bernie's to the extreme.
I'm like nauseous just thinking about that.
That's disgusting. And in 1931, so three years after she was discovered, 6 years after she died, Blackburn was taken in for questioning about this death. And her parents were taken in for questioning about what they had done to her body. This case was overturned. No charges were ever brought. And this note says, in 1931, the state Supreme Court ruled that testimony about the cult's weird rituals was wrongly admitted at the trial. This is a free country where there is freedom of religious worship and it is not actionable to the court. That's not the only thing that they did. Willa was one of their most high-profile messing with the dead things. There was also a woman named Florence Turner.
Frances Turner.
I have Florence.
I'm looking at Frances. We can just say F. Turner, but you can take it away.
F. Turner. I'm sorry if I'm just screwing everything up today, okay. Guys.
I mean, looking, because this is from the 20s, so it was documented. But, you know, in the 20s, like, every newspaper has, like, some different detail.
It was just some guy named Smitty who had a drinking problem.
Wearing, like, what are those hats called?
The pork pie hats.
Pork pie hats. So a lot of the information we've been finding conflicts with each other.
The names are conflicting. The meat of the story is still there.
I mean, I've definitely seen some conflictions. For example, sometimes they'll list Willa's age as 19, even though we all know it's 16. I've also seen her listed as 14. You know, it's just...
It's an old cult.
Yeah, it's an old cult. And so the documentation, while there is some of it, it's not super great. Anyway,
it is not.
F. Turner.
F. Turner was a 30-year-old woman. She was a follower of the cult.
She was paralytic and she could not speak.
She was mentally, not mentally, she was physically disabled.
Yes.
As many people who are extremely disabled in cults do, she was determined to find a way to be cured.
Yeah.
So May and Ruth decided...
They were going to treat her.
They were going to treat her. And you want to tell them what they did to her?
So the cult created a stone oven.
Like at a Bertucci's.
I just, like, I'm so grossed out by this.
This is a very weird cult. Just
so she spent 2 days in there.
They put her in an oven. Not just sitting there. They set the oven up. They burned her for 2 days.
They cooked her. They baked her.
They baked her.
To cure her... What ails her?
Shockingly, this did not work, and she died.
I hope she was delicious.
Again, no charges were brought. Again, the District Court of Appeal released a similar statement that due to religious freedom, this woman is allowed to believe that she has the power to cure, and we are not allowed to question what they do with their dead.
So, so fucked up. There's a lot of cases of women in this cult, like, who may or may not have existed, who would disappear and then reappear years and years later, who were coming from mental asylums.
I want to ask you a question.
I would love to answer this.
Do you think that May and Ruth were never prosecuted because they were women?
Interesting.
Because I'm thinking, if you had a man who was leading this cult and women started to become burned or they started to be buried under houses, you think of Ted Bundy.
Yeah.
You think of John Wayne Gacy. You think you think they would immediately arrest them, but do you think that they didn't believe that these people could have anything to do with it because it was this old woman and her beautiful daughter?
Well, they did wind up going to jail. They were also convicted of, or they were also accused of embezzling, what, like $500,000?
Yeah, do you want to talk about that?
My page for that is not up right now, but you can start while I look for it.
All right, so as I said earlier, Ruth had a suitor who was an investor, and he was very, very into this cult. His name was Clifford Dabney. He was an oil operator, and they bilked him out of $40,000, which was even more back then. It's about $200,000 now.
Yes.
Ruth said that she got the money to finance writing a book about the coming apocalypse. It was going to be called The Great Sixth Seal. She was dictating what Gabriel and Michael were telling them. As I said, Dabney was told that the book would reveal where all the oil and minerals were. The book was never written. He never found any more oil.
This is, they were indicted for grand theft.
Yes. What did they do? What time did they do for that?
So in 1929, the mom and daughter were indicted in LA for grand theft, and the LAPD, or whatever was happening at the time, was investigating the disappearance of several cult members of theirs.
As we said, Florence and Willa started to put them on the radar.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of others, too. This obviously created a media frenzy. May was charged with 12 counts of grand theft, and the newspapers at the time were just straight up calling her a cult leader.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so then the cult just kind of shat the bed after May was imprisoned for stealing Clifford Dabney's $40,000.
They moved to Lake Tahoe. They were never in the news again. Where are they now, I guess? May was freed after a very short time being indicted for theft, as there was insufficient evidence to charge her with any additional crimes. As I said, it's very strange to me.
It's just crazy shit.
She published a book in 1936 called The Origin of God, which sort of reiterated her earlier claims, but it failed to catch the same audience and same attention had before. She died on June 17th, 1951 in Los Angeles. Do you know what happened to Ruth?
I don't. I'm trying to find that now, but
Ruth is another one of our disappearing girls, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, after May and the move to Lake Tahoe, there's so little that can be found about them. Like, I wasn't able to get anything. There's only like 3 or 4 like good articles about them online anyway. Or at least that I found.
So that's them. In 2007, a company called Ghost Tour, which is a community theater in the Simi Valley, put on a play about Ruth and May.
That's awesome.
They said,
I bet you and I would enjoy that.
Oh, we'd really enjoy that. I've always wanted to play someone weird like that.
You know, when I was 14, I was terrified of ghosts from my whole life up until that point. And then I decided that what I wanted to do for like my first real job was I wanted to be one of those ghost tour guides that they do in the Boston trolleys.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't happen, but it did start my, I want to say lifelong obsession with ghosts, but I'm only 21 now, so it's only been, 6, 7 years?
Well, you keep that dream alive.
Thank you, girl. I will.
It's very funny. In this production, Ruth and May were played by a real-life mother and daughter team, Linda Gray and her daughter Erin, who was 15. And Linda was quoted saying, May Otis is really fun and flamboyant. She's a cult leader. Who wouldn't want to play a cult leader?
True.
So that was our girls who ran the Blackburn cult.
Yeah, if you guys maybe, if you know anyone around Lake Tahoe or you know any more information about this in their later days, please write into us and we can add a little addendum onto this.
Absolutely. I was just, it's very frustrating. I joke a lot about how a lot of our cults are from the 1960s, but I do prefer that because people were taking much more...
paying more attention.
Yeah.
And, like, facts were more important.
And people were writing things down, and there was video cameras more frequently used. Yeah. And it's just easier to find people, and they don't just vanish.
That is true.
But those were our girls today.
Yeah.
Thanks for the fun. Blackburn cult. And please don't put people in goddamn ovens. You are not in a Hans Christian Andersen tale.
Ew.
It was so gross.
So how do you think their mother-daughter relationship was like?
I mean, it seems like... they just got along. It seems like they're like real sick Gilmore girls because there's no indication that May was forcing Ruth into any of this. You do see that in a lot of cults. We talked a while back about a cult that that incestuous cult.
Oh Jesus, yeah. With Mo. Right?
Mo,
that was
yes.
His name.
We're talking about Mo and his incest cult and just how there are parents who would really domineer and abuse their children into joining these cults. Again, it is because we don't have all the information, but you don't see a lot of that reported with Ruth and with May.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I feel like they were definitely let off early, like...
Lighter
than if it had been a father and son, and if the father and son had had beards, for example.
Ooh.
Why? Ooh.
Commentary.
No, I just think that, you know... that would look sketchier to a jury in the 20s.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
These are two primly dressed women.
And they spoke very well, and as we said, Ruth was supposed to be a knockout, and...
well, I'm sorry, you're the one who's saying how hot Ruth is, whereas I'm the one who's looking at her photo.
I saw a photo of her. I thought I did. Maybe I was wrong.
What's her last name? Ruth Rizzio?
Yeah.
All right, let me pull up another photo, and we can have a final decision. Oh, shit, no, she totally is. Look at that. Look at those arms. I bet she plays tennis.
Yeah.
Yeah, shit. She's doing all right for herself.
But I definitely do believe that it's definitely more of a novelty, I think, when women are killers and crazy than when men are.
I know,
I mean, we talked about it like it was a novelty.
Yeah.
And Bonnie and Clyde was so popular back in their day because it's like, oh my god, look at this woman with a gun. They're definitely having premarital sex.
Although she was married, though, wasn't she?
Was she?
I think she was.
Not when they first started out.
No, I think, like, she was already married when they started their relationship.
That's even worse.
I know.
Even more titillating.
What a whore, as Frank Reynolds would say.
My whore wife. But, so that's interesting to me, and that's a message I want you to take away from this episode, is that women can be monsters, too.
Yeah. We're not celebrating these women. Well, I mean, I guess we are a little
bit. We celebrate all the cults, though, but we don't approve them.
Yes. We understand. We do not condone.
Exactly.
It was fun to sort of look at cults from a female perspective.
As we always
do. What do you think they got out of it?
I think they got attention. I think
they got attention and money. I think.
And power. I mean, they had these people who were willing to let them put their daughters on ice for over a year.
Gross.
Because they believed so much in them.
Yeah, I think to...
they had an oil magnate who gave them thousands and thousands of dollars because he believed in them, like...
yeah, to reference back to your earlier question about whether or not they truly believed in themselves or not, I think they were just two con women.
I definitely think so. I think they were just pulling a long con or a long yarn or whatever they call it. I'm not a con woman.
I mean, this is absolutely conjecture. Is that the right word?
Yes.
But I feel like after... her mom went in jail. This is just what I'm imagining in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Ruth moves to Ruby.
Ruby, hurry, someone's coming in.
Ruth moves to Lake Tahoe. The cult kind of flounders because their hearts aren't really in it anymore, and etc.
So do you have any recommendations?
Oh no.
You look so terrified.
Oh shit. Be a designated driver.
Fun.
I was really fun. I had a good time.
She looked beautiful, our friend who got married, and she seemed to have a good time at the bachelorette party and at the wedding. So congratulations to Maisie and Elise.
It was a good time.
If they ever hear this, I don't think they do.
No, but I did try and get her sister to subscribe to our podcast.
One day we'll get her. One day.
Yeah.
contact us at cultsoforlives@gmail.com. Join the Facebook group so we can talk about this. We can talk about other stuff. You can do a Are You a Hallie or a Stassi?
I don't even know what that means.
Me neither, but I'm interested to see what other people think it means.
You didn't recommend anything.
Pod Save America. It's a great podcast.
It is.
It's really John Lovett, John Favreau, and Tommy... I can only spell it. I can't say it. Vietor. They used to work for
Barack Obama,
and now they're obviously on the defensive.
They're running something called Crooked Media, which I think is just the cleverest thing I've ever heard.
Reclaim it, guys.
Yeah.
And they're super funny, and they talk about what's going on in the news in a way that you understand it.
Yes. See, there's the thing. I have terrible, terrible issues with anxiety and depression, and so I have to, like, sequester myself away from the news, or else I'll just be a pile of mush for the rest of the day. But if you listen to them, like, you get up to date on things, and you still feel like there's hope at the end of the day.
They give real concrete solutions of things you can do to resist and to help the people around you.
Yeah,
and
so it's easy to swallow. It's a very palatable podcast, very funny.
So I think that's our joint recommendation for this week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Message us, Facebook, all I said, blah blah blah. Be excellent to each other.
And be careful, it's a jumble out there.